Hey, you guys, we're back. Thank you so much for staying with and joining us. Hey, we're at the end of our series on 1 John, and I want to remind you that being undivided, right, takes a lot of work, and we're going to need Jesus for it. Speaking of a lot of work, there's people all around the world that you and I have been helping with giving to this little church here in Sultan. And so I want to remind you to keep giving, whether you're able to do that to the highest degree that you want to, you know, because Jesus gave you everything and you can give everything back to him, or you're just doing whatever you can. Thank you. God bless you. You're making a difference in this world. Let's pray. We're going to get into this. I've got like a snapshot of what we've looked at for the 7 weeks prior to this. And then I'm going to finish the message and we're going to have a great day and we're going to enjoy the Lord today together. We're having church, you guys. Church is not the building. It's where the church goes into, right? Like, this is us. We are the church. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the time that we've had to worship together. Just having that team together sounding so good. I'm so blessed, Lord, by music, and so blessed that we can worship you with music, with our voices, with our hearts. And we're even talking about worshiping you with our money, that we wouldn't worship money. So have your way in us. We love you and we praise you. And we ask that you take these tithes, these offerings, these gifts, and use them for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. So as you saw before, we called this whole message series Undivided, and it's the light, love, and truth of Jesus in 1 John. And we talked about way back in the beginning that it's amplification style of teaching where he continues to take light, love, and truth in all these different ways, but he keeps talking about the same topics from different approaches, and it's called amplification, right? He's amplifying, he's bringing attention to it over and over again, almost over-exaggerating it, but he's not a liar, so it's truth over and over again in all these different ways. Talked about walking up a spiral staircase. You walk up that spiral staircase and you hit these different spots each time, and yet you have the same view of something, but from a different perspective. And so we're looking at that. And so the very first time we got together, we talked about united we stand, divided we fall. And so I'm going to let you go. Remember, we're in 1 John, so please join me in 1 John, and we're going to go 1 John 2:7. Actually, excuse me, let's go with 2:6. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Gosh, you guys, I gave you the wrong verse. So let's go to 1 John 1:4 instead. I love it. We'll go 2:6 next. Here it is. And we are writing these things, John says, so that our joy and your joy may be complete. This is why he wrote all of what he wrote in John, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, is that people would know God and that their joy would be complete. And so this is what we looked at, that walking with God, as Christ followers, we have nothing better to bridge the gap between us and God than Jesus. And what else do we need? But wait for it, there's more. We also don't have anything better than Jesus to bridge the gap between us and people. And gosh, is there so many gaps. I want to unpack that some more, but if you want to go back and look at these messages, you can. You can go on our website. You can go on Facebook. You can actually go on our app. All right, and so this is the 1 John 2:6. This was this continued idea and these, like, challenges, right? And these what seem to be opposites, because they are, of light and dark, lies and truth, sin and confession, old and new. And the really cool thing about the old and new is that the old and new was the same message, and that's love. Jesus showed it in new, fresh ways. But it's been since the beginning, and we're going to actually talk about that in just a few minutes. But in 1 John 2:6, here you go again. 2:7, excuse me, 2:7. Beloved, I'm writing to you a new commandment, but an old commandment that you've had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard, and this is to love God and to love others. So when you and I are walking in the light, we are actually lovingly following Jesus, keeping his commands, being sincere, working through it. We're not people that just keep giving over to our flesh and to the world. We keep giving ourselves over and over and over to Jesus. And then we talked about how you and I need to remember whose we are and who we are. And this is 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Don't love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, that's in all your possessions, this is not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world and its desires are passing away. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. And so we need to give up, and we looked at this quite a few weeks ago, but we've looked at it multiple times in the 13 years we've been together. Look, give up your love affair with the world and its desires and its goods. This is critical to doing the will of God. We got to quit clinging to this world and how it does things, because it doesn't work. It may appear to work for a little bit, you guys, but it does not work. The world and its desires are passing away. And so you're going to need to surrender to Jesus' loving rule and reign to accomplish this over and over again. And then for us in the fourth week, Pastor John spoke about abiding, right? And I love this word. It's meno in the Greek language. And what it means is to remain, to live, to continue, to hang in there, right? And he talked about this idea that when you're making tea, you don't just dip the tea bag in your cup and take it out, in and out. You let it steep. And that's what it means to abide. And we looked at a lot of different things, but in particular, 1 John 3, 9 stands out. And here's 1 John 3, 9. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. Gosh, that just hits, doesn't it? No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him, rests, steeps in him. And he cannot keep on sinning because he's been born of God. That does not mean that we don't sin. It means we don't make a practice of it. We don't make a life of it. We don't abide in sin. We abide in Jesus. It just makes sense, doesn't it? This is what it means to have God's Spirit in us. And so John reminded us to remember the truth, to abide in Jesus. And you're going to look like Jesus. In the fifth week, we talked again and came back to this idea of light, love, and truth over and over again. And in particular, we looked at 1 John 3:10. And this was a lot, but I'm going to pack it up with this. By this, it's evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. And then verse 11, for this is a message that you've heard from the beginning. And from the beginning, that phrase is all the way through 1 John. It's actually many times all the way through the word, the entire Bible. But I asked you like this, from the beginning, what is that message? It's from the beginning, it's love. Again, love for God, love for others. That brings light and truth. It's God who's God, not us. And so I asked you, what do you cling to when it comes to Jesus? Was it his life? Was it his death? Is it his resurrection? Is it his teachings? Is it his love? What difference does Jesus make in your everyday life? And then a couple weeks ago, we looked at this word, beloved. We are loved. And so since we're loved, there's a lot that the one who created love, the one who is love, says to us. And in particular, 1 John 4:7 says it like this. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Love, what is love? Remember I asked you that? What does it even look like? Looks like God. It looks like Jesus. And since God is love, and he's loved us first, we ought to, and we get to, love him and love others in that order. But to love him and love others, to stay undivided, to keep pointing people to Jesus. Now, some will want him and some won't. But that's how we make him known to people, is by loving him and living for him, showing him, sacrificing for him. And we make him known, make him who's invisible known. And so last week, I said, what do you know? right? I mean, what do you know? What are you remembering? What are the things that stand out to you? What do we know? And there was three things that we looked at in particular. And 1 John 5:13 says this. John's saying again, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So the three things we looked at is that we know what it means as Christ followers to be born again, to be born of God. We know what it means to know Jesus, who is eternal life. So now we know what it means to be born again, new life, right? And then we know what it means to know Jesus and to keep knowing him more and more, and eternal life in him, because he is eternal life. Jesus is eternal life. And the final thing we talked about is we know how to have confidence in prayer. As we're being loved and loving God and pursuing him and we're showing him to people and we're loving people, we'll have confidence in prayer. We'll start to ask for what he would want, like in his will. And so that brings us to today's message. So that's like 7 weeks right here. Here's the eighth week, right? I'm excited about it because we know. What do we know? What is it that we know? We've talked about a bunch of things. We just talked about three things we know. But these last four verses right here in 1 John really break it down for us. We know. Now, I got kids. I think everybody knows that. There's times when you say to somebody, and in particular I'm thinking of my kids, when you say something to them and they say, we know, or I know. Well, this is more than that. It's like, what do we know? We know, like with confidence, exclamation point, not we know, Dad, leave us alone. We know. We've got it deep within our fiber, and we have to keep coming back to this over and over again, but we know. And what is it that we know? Well, let's go to 1 John 5, 18 and 19. 1 John 5, 18 and 19. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, does not make a practice of it, doesn't abide, doesn't steep in sin over and over again. We turn from it when it's confronted, when the light is shed on it. We let that light eradicate that. Remember, there's no fear in perfect love. So check this out. But he who was born of God protects the person who is born of God. We get to help each other. We have Jesus, the Most High, helping us. And the evil one does not touch him. Can't touch this. Ding, 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 ding. Okay, enough. All right. But you're born of God. You're not going to keep on practicing sin. We know this. And the evil one can't touch you. Now, we will be attacked, but this whole touch is you cannot be separated from God. You can't be. And you're not going to give in to all these things that would separate you. You're going to keep coming to Jesus, keep focusing on Jesus. Isn't that encouraging? We know this. Then verse 19. We know that we are from God. And the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Friends, we can't erase the fact that we've got an enemy. Think of your favorite movie or your favorite story for a second, okay? Think of this. What is it about that story? What is it about that movie? What is it about that TV show? What is it about that series that you love? It almost always is going to have conflict. It almost always is going to have victory. And it's always going to have an antagonist or an evil one or an enemy. And so our story does as well. But we know that we've overcome the evil one. There's a couple of encouragements from God's word that I want to share with you. Things that I actually come to when I'm struggling, when I'm helping people who are struggling, when we talk through things together. And we talked about it in 1 Corinthians, actually. So let's go back to that just for a quick minute here. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The problem with this one is that it gets misquoted. Let me say it to you like this. A lot of times people say, God never gives you more than you can handle. Let me ask you right now, and put this in the comments. Has God ever given you more than what you can handle? Because I know he's given me more than what I can handle. This is what the word actually says. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. I mean, you're not new, right? You're not a special case that, oh, there's more. I'm more tempted. I can't handle it. No temptation has overtaken you that isn't common to man. God is faithful. Hear that, friends. That's for all of us, but somebody needs to hear that. God is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. You are going to be able to overcome the evil one that's within you. Because temptation is not just, I have to give into it. Temptation is legitimately an opportunity to trust this faithful God. All right. And so the other thing that has always encouraged me is what John says in 1 John to the followers of God, the followers of Christ, the family of God. And so we'll go to 1 John 2, 13 through 14. This is an encouragement to a bunch of people, to little children, to young men, to old men, to people in the faith that are at different spots in their maturity. And he says it like this in 13. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who's from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you've overcome the evil one. There's an excitement when you win. Do you remember when the disciples actually were sent out by Jesus in twos, right? And they're supposed to go and do things in Jesus' name and don't take anything with you. And anyways, they come back and they're like, demons like submitted to us in your name. They were stoked. They overcame the evil one. And Jesus goes, I know, man, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven because Jesus has been forever. And we know him who's from the beginning. And that gives us encouragement. And we overcome the evil one. He says, I write to you, children, because you know the Father. Correction, I know your Father. No? All right. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who's from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the evil one. Look, I want to transition, okay? We know that we overcome the evil one. We know that we are God's people. We've known him who's from the beginning. Let me tell you a quick story. When I was a young man, we didn't necessarily go out to eat a lot. We would order pizza and stuff, but we didn't go out to eat a lot. But there was this place in Kenmore, right? And it was really kind of run down. And it wasn't all that great. As a matter of fact, that was the one place that my dad and my mom said, nope, we're not going there. Well, one time we were driving by it in Kenmore, and there was a big sign that said, under new management. And my mom and dad are like, it looks like the same old place, but it says it's under new management. Let's go in and give it a look. And we went in, and it was really, really nice. It was really cool. And they had changed a bunch of stuff. The outside still was getting changed. But the inside, it was under new management. And you could tell, you and I, as Christ followers, we're not like the world. We're under new or different management. And so that leads me to this transition, like I was saying. You and I, and Warren Wiersbe says it like this, okay? You and I have this idea that we need to serve, right? This idea, this desire, this innate design for us. And it says, Warren Wiersbe says, the thing we worship is the thing we serve. Another way for us to look at that is that we make time and space for that which is important to us. There's a lot of people whose lives are being changed right now because of the coronavirus. Some are suffering, some are dying, God forbid. And a lot of people's lives are changed. School, sports, so many things. And it makes us try to remember who we are and whose we are. And for some people, they're feeling like they're adrift because everything's so different. Well, God is still the same. And the thing we worship is the thing we serve. What are you worshiping? Who are you worshiping? So to finish out 1 John, we'll go to 1 John 5, 20 and 21. If there's a point that I would ever try to make to you, and I've said it in so many different ways, that Jesus is the big deal. Jesus, God, is the big deal. He's the one for us. He's the one who makes everything new. He's the one who redeems us. He's the one that paid for us to be able to turn around and come back. And so here we go. And we know that the Son of God, Jesus, has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. They are one, as it says in the Gospel of John. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. This is how he ends it. Mic drop. Look, the one true God is Jesus. We know him. We understand him. We have understanding of this world and its desires as it passes away, that people are going to trip and fall, but they don't have to stay down. And you can reach out a hand, and if they don't want it, you don't shove it in their face. But you and I know. We know God. We know him who's true. Have you guys heard the word Shema? It's this Hebrew word that means listen or hear. My friend was telling me that one day he's going to get the word Shema right here, tattooed underneath his ear. And if I can ever get down to 160 pounds and stay there for 3 months, I'm going to have it tattooed over my heart, because I want to hear with my heart. I want to listen with my heart. And I don't think a tattoo is going to make that happen, but it's kind of this expression, right? But more than a tattoo, more than just a talk, it's a reality for those of us who know God. Will you go with me to the book of Mark? It's Mark 12. We'll go 29 through 31. This is where Jesus gets asked what's the most important commandment. And if you ever get a chance to meet with Pastor John, you can see that he has Mark 12:30 tattooed on his arm. And it's not because he's trying to remember he's got a meeting with Mark at 12:30. He's actually reminding himself of what we're about to read on a regular basis when he sees it, when people ask him about it. Well, this scribe, okay, comes up and asks him, what's the most important commandment? And Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. You guys, the one true God isn't your flesh, isn't the evil one, isn't the devil, isn't his dominion, isn't this world. It's God, Jesus Christ. You know him. Look, I don't have time right now to unpack all these passages. We've got it on the screen for you to write down and to go look at it. But Jesus is the one true God. And he's calling you to let go of all of the things that get in between you and him. I'm not saying go divorce your husband. I'm not saying kick your kids out. No, in the proper perspective, focus on Jesus, the one true God. And know that he and he alone is the one that sustains you, the one that abides in you by his Spirit. And his Spirit is truth. Got these things about true. And so I'm going to just tell you really quick. Jesus is the true light. Check that out in John 1:9. Jesus is true bread. Bread for your life. He's the bread of life. Bread for your soul. And that's in John 6:32. Jesus is the true vine. Don't get separated from him. You grow when you're in him. That's in John 15:1. Jesus is truth itself. Like literally, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. He's not an egomaniac. He's giving you the final word on what's good and right and true. It's him. We know. So as we conclude on this undivided series, this look at 1 John for 8 weeks, know that Jesus is real light. Jesus is real truth. Jesus is real love. Jesus, he personifies all these things because he created all of them. It flows from who he is. How do we stay undivided? We fix our eyes, our worship, our love, and our life on Jesus, and he never, ever fails, no matter what. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity. Lord, I don't love being in a building speaking into cameras. I love being face to face with people. But what I love more is you. What I want more is you, and I know that we can make much of you in so many ways. God, you help us to repent of fighting against you and fighting against even the things that we don't like. May we focus on you and have wisdom that you being real light, real love, real truth, that when we focus on you and when we aim for you and when we live for you, when we love for you, we're going to help people to not be divided from you and even from others. As you called them, may we be the kind of people that help and encourage and even lay down our own lives. God, I want so much to see peace in this world. It only comes from you because you're actually the only true peace as well. So help us, Jesus. We love you. We need you. We're desperate for you. God, I pray all these things in your perfect son's name. Amen. Hey, before I let you go, let you know about the next few weeks. And also, don't forget the discussion questions, okay? We got those for you. We want you to be able to discuss them with God and discuss them with the people that you're around. Maybe call somebody up. If you're by yourself right now today, call somebody up and have these discussion questions as a good conversation. But the next 3 weeks, we're going to go through the book of Philemon. And this is a reconciliation story, really, really like no other. I want to encourage you to get after that. I want you to read through it, and there's going to be a reading plan, and it's really small, but there's a lot in the word that points to this. But this is a profound reconciliation story, and it is not for the faint of heart to follow Jesus, and he gives us the strength just like we talked. So please join us with that over the next few weeks. God bless you. Jesus loves you. Can't wait to see you again very, very soon. Don't forget Tuesday nights, 6 o'clock, right here in the parking lot. God bless you. Have a great day. Bye.